To be the best, you need to play with the best. You might not have your own personal high-level circle of women yet, but you can hang with us on the Female Millionaire Show. I'm Midori Verity, serial entrepreneur for over 25 years, and I interview badass female founders and cut through to what you really need to know. So in 20 minutes, you have what can take years to learn. If you're wanting to play bigger, come play with us. Join the Female Entrepreneur Revolution today. Cheers. We are here with a woman who started as a teacher, went on to build an amazing PR firm that does all kinds of things, and now has a nonprofit as well. She is a wonder woman, and we're going to talk about her journey, how she did all this, how she's doing it without losing her mind and still being successful. So join me in welcoming Natalie Maniscalco to the show. Nice to meet you, Natalie.
Nice to meet you too. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So, okay. So your business name is Retro Media NYC. Yes. And then your nonprofit is Wonder Girls.
Absolutely, yes.
And then, okay, so just to give you a few more little accolades, just so those of you who are listening understand that we only bring badasses onto the show. And so Natalie has been a public relations person for Goya Foods. We will probably hit on that because I know that Goya Foods has had some bad, they have gotten themselves into a little bit of trouble. So coming from the PR standpoint, I'm sure that you've had to deal with that a bit. But beyond that, you have worked with Tribeca Film Festival, the Sundance Film Festival in Salt Lake City, the Winter Olympics, all kinds of amazing things. So I'm excited to dive into this. So, but tell us first, let's start, Natalie, with your journey. How did you go from being a teacher to thinking, you know, I think I want to start a PR firm?
Well, it's an interesting journey. And I do love to say that, you know, at this point in my life, now that I'm 42, I feel like my life has come, you know, full circle for sure. When I was in college, I went to Fordham University in the Bronx and I was studying communications and business. I knew that at one point I would always want to start my own business. I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do with a degree in communications, but after talking to friends and colleagues and just kind of learning about the field, you know, someone said to me, you'd be really good at public relations. So I got an internship in a agency in Manhattan. It was actually a sports PR and marketing firm. That was my first step into the PR world. And it was absolutely amazing. And I really, I was just saying today that, you know, in terms of pay scale for women, academically, there's so many more women going to college now, but they do lack the experience, the internships that really help us to catapult our salaries, right? So I made sure that during college, I had plenty of internships and work opportunities so that when I stepped into my first real job after graduating from college, that I would be able to leverage that to get more money, right? To ask for more money. And sure enough, that's what happened. So I was studying public relations in college, had my first internship, and then 9/11 happened my senior year of college. And that kind of took me for a spin because I'm sitting at my desk and, you know, in Manhattan, my brother was there. It was, you know, just an incredible, scary moment. And I realized that I did not want to be sitting at a desk the following year after I had graduated. I wanted to do something totally different. So what did I do? I bought a one-way ticket to Spain. And my way of getting there and being able to work there and support myself was actually teaching. And I had always been interested in teaching. I just didn't really, I didn't get the opportunity to get a taste of it, but I did in Spain and I taught. I absolutely loved it. I loved my life there. It was absolutely amazing. Of course, I come from an Italian family, got the guilt trip from my parents, you know, come back. We miss you, blah, blah, blah. So I came back and I continued teaching, but it just didn't feel right to me at the time. I was only 23 years old. I just felt like it just didn't feel good to me. And that's one thing I'll always say is like, always go with your gut feeling. Like there's so many things going through your head. There's so many things going through your heart. But when your gut is really telling you something, you have to go through it. And I I was like physically feeling it. So I knew, you know what? I just spent all this money on a college degree. Let me try and get back into public relations. And sure enough, I started applying to PR agencies and I landed my first job at one of the top PR agencies, Rubenstein Associates in Manhattan on Sixth Avenue. And, you know, just from there, I worked my way up in the PR world. And by the age of 29, that's when I started my own PR agency. And within 3 months, I landed Goya as a client. So that was like a huge game changer for me and just my agency and where, you know, the direction I wanted to go into. And, you know, and just making myself like a niche of being a bilingual publicist, even though I'm not Spanish, but I, you know, spoke the language and I understood the culture. And so I took on clients that were both in both worlds, you know, the English media as well as the Spanish media. And, you know, fast forward, here I am, you know, starting a nonprofit organization and using all of my skills and parlaying those skills into, you know, what I do now, which is continuing to do PR, marketing, everything else, but also, you know, teaching the minds of amazing young women.
So that's a lot,
Yes.
right? To do all of that, because it's not just PR that you do marketing, design, or your firm does. So
Yes.
let me ask you,
Okay.
how did you go from owning this business to starting the nonprofit and making it all work? Is your team in place at your firm where you just are actually being the CEO? And you
Yeah.
know, talk to me about that. How did you structure
Sure.
things so that you realize, you know what, I have some bandwidth now? Because that's something that all of us women struggle with, right? It's family and jobs and careers and everything else. How did you do that?
Absolutely. So I do have a creative team that handles all of the creative components. I am the main person. You know, at this point, I have scaled back a little bit on taking on clients, just because my focus is on, you know, really building Wonder Girls, but I do have a team that helps with all of that. So I definitely do not do everything by myself. And I think you need to really get to a point where financially you're capable of doing that and being able to structure your services and how you charge your clients so that you're able to not only, you know, profit off the services that you're providing, but you're also getting quality people to and talented people to work with you. And that's really important. And then figuring out also like what is really working. Like for example, public relations is very labor intensive. So there's only so many clients we're going to take on to be able to like really provide public relations services, as opposed to like doing design work and photography and videography and even events, right? So I am very strategic on the clients that I bring on and being able to say, you know, that I want whether I want to work with a client or not at this point and be able to structure my services in that way. And I really think like hiring quality people, like once you get to that point where you're not just like a solopreneur, you're able to really build on the foundation that you've created. And all of that I've been able to parlay into Wonder Girls, and we also have a team for Wonder Girls too. Running a nonprofit is definitely different than a business, but when you have a really amazing team that all has like the same passion and the same drive as you, it 100% works. And then obviously, as we always say, like your vibe attracts your tribe. So you need to be what you want to attract. So the way you treat people is the way they're going to treat you back. And I think that is so important.
So with both your organizations, do you have like your vision and mission statement and all of those components that are in place that are part of the culture that you've created? Or how did you do it? Is it just kind of, is it more intrinsic where it's you, right? And you have this certain aura and this certain vibe and it just has naturally kind of worked, or was it more intentional?
I think it was a combination of both. I do feel that it really is the person. I mean, you have to have a structure and a foundation. And so, you know, like rewinds back to when I first started my PR agency. I definitely was trying to figure out like what was it that I really wanted to do? Did I only want to do PR? Did I want to include marketing? Did I want to do all these other things? So having that vision of where you see yourself in that first business was really something that I intentionally, you know, strategically thought about, but at the same time was adapting to the people I was meeting, the clients I was meeting. I wanted to be that like one-stop shop for clients. So when I heard them say, "Oh, well, we need someone like that," and I knew that I could do it, then I'd be like, "Okay, I'm including that service now." So then that's how like the business kind of like organically grew. And then for Wonder Girls, it started out very organically. It started out with just like a small idea that kind of just grew into something bigger. And it was a lot of trial and error. This is our third year now that we're doing programming in the schools. And we're working with teens, right? So when you're working with teens, if you are not adaptable, you're never going to su succeed. You have to really figure out what's going on in the minds of these teenagers. What do they want to do? What are they interested in? You know, how are you going to attract their attention? So we really shaped the organization, especially that first year, based on like the feedback that we were getting from the girls. And then creating our vision from that and just like continuing to build it, continuing to tweak it. I mean, I feel that every year you should always go over your vision statement, your services, your website, like all of your communications, so that in your mind you know what direction you want to go in every year, which might change.
And I think as we grow and we adapt, that's kind of key, right? So you're staying
Absolutely.
relevant and it still is fitting with what you have going on because, you know, us women, we can change really quickly, right? We can go from one stage to something else. And so I think that's smart to consistently look at it and review it with your team so everyone's on the same page.
Exactly. And one perfect example is for my PR agency. So social media, when I first started PR, social media didn't exist. So that was not part of like the umbrella of PR. Then it all came out and all these, you know, all our clients are like, "Well, we want to get on Facebook. We want to get on this. We want to get." Okay, so now we have to adapt and we have to include those services because we are naturally handling the communications of every business. So social media just seamlessly, you know, ended up into our bucket of what to do for clients. After a few years of me doing specifically doing social media, it got to a point where I just hated it. I was like, I can't do this anymore. And I was noticing that it was like mentally getting to me, having to always be on social media. And, you know, then clients are pressuring you with like, "I need more likes. I want more followers. I want this. I want it." And I really felt like, you know what? I still need to offer those services, but I personally do not want to do that. No more. I'm done with that. So I hired someone who loves it, you know, and a few people that love it and are great at it and trained them so that they can take over those services. So that was like a way that I became adapting to the world of technology. Yes, I'm familiar with all of the things, how to use it, but I don't do it anymore for clients the way I used to do it because it just didn't feel right for me personally.
That's such a key thing that I've talked about a number of times, in that no one lights you up, right? It's our freaking business. We started it, so therefore we get to make the rules for the most part. Yeah, we still need to make the money, right? But knowing what your zone of genius is, knowing what lights you up, and playing there as much as possible, and then finding those who are excellent and love it, love the parts that you don't love. When you can do that successfully, you're going to grow. Because our brain space, right? Like, I'm sure once you offloaded that, does your heart just start singing a little bit more?
Yes. Oh
You're
my
like,
God. Everything physically, even I, you know, I felt it like just the tension, the sleeping better, all of that. I mean, I still, you know, the phone is obviously we all are addicted to our phone, but that has always been a challenge for me to like stay off my phone. I need to, you know, like work life balance. And after doing that, I definitely felt so much better with not having to like have to handle that constantly because it really is. It's like zaps out your energy completely. And if you focus on the things that you love that also make you money, that's another thing, is like to really focus on, okay, what do I love and what is also going to make me money? And then that's when I really just like, okay, I have someone doing this and I'm now going to do that to supplement for not doing social media kind of thing. And it just kind of worked out with being able to do that.
Yeah, and I think as women, from talking with thousands of them, we have this guilt sometimes that, oh yeah, we need to do it all and it needs to
Oh,
be
I know.
perfect. And if we don't, it's not going to work out right. But
Yeah.
the sooner we can develop the mindset that you were just talking about, where you play where you're good, right? And you
Right.
subcontract on the other parts, but make sure that where you're playing where it's good, that is going to, you have it structured though, so that it is bringing in the finances that you need.
Right.
And I'll tell you, I just got back from this business event with incredibly successful people, all of them, like the founder of, or the co-founder of Thinkific was there, and ConvertKit. I mean, just crazy people. And consistently, what I heard, whether it was a woman or a man, didn't matter, was balance.
Yes.
These people who were at the top of their game all talked about balance. And I think that's how you're sustainable, right?
Yes.
Because yes, we can grow super successful businesses, but is it costing us our family or vice
Right.
versa? And
Right.
so the more that we can play in that area where we're really naturally talented and we're giving out the other work that we're not as talented, that's how you create true success that's more internal too.
Right.
So I think this is an
Absolutely.
important conversation.
Yeah, work-life balance is so important. I would say it's the number one, especially for entrepreneurs, when your schedule is all over the place, you're not clocking in at 9 to 5, and you need to take care of yourself. I mean, I think the pandemic taught us all, if you do not take care of your health, I mean, it was like survival of the fittest. It really was just, a horrible but eye-opening experience for everyone. And I think that, your self-care is so important to your mental health, to your physical health, and for your ability to really, be on your A game in everything that you do. And I vote, thankfully, even as a young girl, especially because I contribute that to my parents always being into health and work. My dad especially loved to work out. He bought me my first pink, weights and stuff. And, so I always had that habit at a very young age. And I do feel like I always say that's my therapy. Like I feel like I have to start my day off with some kind of movement, taking care of myself, and then jumping into, a full day of work and being able to make ha handle that mentally. Because it's even if you're just sitting at a desk doing computer work, I mean, it is mentally draining, sometimes more draining than a physical job. So it's important that you do take care of your health.
100%. I think that's kind of the number one thing. And I
Yeah.
said the same thing. Like for me, working out is my therapy.
Yeah.
And just to back up for a second, when we say the work-life balance, I think you and I are both in agreement that it's not like when you're growing your business crazy that you're just going to spend the same amount of time with your family. There's
Right.
times where it's going to shift, but it's having
Right.
that awareness of
Yes.
what we're striving for. And, for me, I know like when I was with my kids, I was 100% with my kids.
Right.
So you have these little tools in your pocket that you use to help you strive. Maybe that's what we say, strive for the work-life balance, right?
Right.
Even though we know it's not going to be perfect, but just constantly trying to be aware and doing the things to help us, whether it's working out,
Yeah.
or spending more time with our family too.
Yeah,
So
100%.
Nellie, what is the number one piece of advice that you would give to a woman who's saying, gosh, I want to have the most insanely successful business? What is the one key piece of advice that you would say to them to help them in navigating that?
That's tough. I mean, there's so many factors that go into it, but I would say you really need to believe in yourself and the ability and to have the courage to actually do it. And there's going to be all this fear, and there's always going to be, your little child, inner child telling you you can't do it, or just, putting that self-doubt. But you really have to push that away and have the mindset to be focused and to be driven, to want to succeed. And I always feel that when people put their mind to something, anything is capable. If you're going to half-ass it, it's not going to work. But if you're going to be dedicated to it, it will work. You will not allow it to fail. You might have little failures along the way, but that doesn't mean you are a failure. Those are the times when you're actually going to learn something from your failures. But you have to have that mindset, like, I got this, I can do this, I'm going to do this, and then really create a clear vision of how you're going to get from A to B. And that's going to be your starting point for sure.
I love that. Yep. It's that determination and that
yeah.
consistent focus.
Yeah,
consistent
100%.
Focus. Yep.
And I'm even for myself. I mean, I've always been, my mom always would joke around like, oh, if Natalie has it in her head, she's going to do it. Forget it. That's it. She's doing it, you know, and she'd sometimes get scared because a lot of those things were like, you know, I wanted to jump out and go, you know, skydiving. And my mom's like, you're nuts. And I'm like, I'm going to do it. And she's like, oh my God, you're going to do it. This is nuts. You know, and I did, I actually did go skydiving, but I know there are times in my life where I have done things half-ass and they never work out. Like if my mind is not focused on it and I'm like, I kind of want to do it, I don't want to do it, it never works out. But when I am 100% committed to the cause, I'm all in, and it drives like a, you know, well-oiled machine for sure. And that is a testament to both my businesses, like really, I mean, especially Wonder Girls too at this point. I mean, we are a well-oiled machine of like how we work with our girls, how we work with our schools, you know, just our process of doing things is very organized. It's, you know, we know exactly how to handle certain situations. So it's really, really important to be like that in order to succeed for sure.
I think that goes back to one of your earlier statements of trusting your gut.
Right.
And if your gut's saying, it's probably a hell no.
Yeah.
Right. But if it's saying, oh, heck yeah, then you decide I'm all in, and that becomes your habit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, great way to end the show. But Natalie, where can people go to find out more about you and your services?
Sure. You could go to my website, which is retromedianyc.com. I'm also on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Natalie Maniscalco on all those networks. You can also check out Wonder Girls at wondergirlsusa.org. And we're also on all the platforms, Wonder Girls USA on LinkedIn, Instagram, all of them. And I'd love to hear from anyone and, you know, look forward to doing this again.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Great interview.
Thank you. I appreciate it.